We'll get Adam Pengilly's thoughts on this. How are you, Adam?
Morning, Middo. Morning, boys.
What happens to DCE tonight at the judiciary?
Yeah. Oh, I agree with Loz. I think he's a decent chance of getting a downgrade. I know there's been a lot of talk about his record, and his teammates quite naturally came out and supported him yesterday and said, well, he's played more than 300 games of NRL and hasn't been suspended before. That's got to count for something, surely. I was like you, Loz. I was watching the tackle again yesterday, and I just think DCE got his body position in a really sort of awkward position and sort of allowed Sean Lane to be slung across him rather than sort of getting in front of him and stopping his, I suppose, his movement forwards towards line or his momentum. But I still think that Homoli Oluwatu had the major role to play in that tackle. Yeah. Now, I might be wrong, but he was down lower and obviously had the lifting motion. DCE sort of just, I don't know, just went with him almost, yeah, didn't he, really?
I thought he had more of an involvement, DCE, but then when I watched it a few times yesterday, I realised he didn't, in my view of it.
Was 2 weeks enough, Adam, for the fact of his involvement?
Yeah, I think it's okay, Brad, to be honest. Okay. I think it's okay. I looked at it again a couple of times yesterday. And I thought, no, I think Homoli's definitely the main culprit in this tackle, and DCE has just sort of gone with it and sort of almost got his body out of the way to allow Sean Lane to follow through towards the ground. I'm not saying he's completely in the innocent here, DCE, but I just think that Homoli was the main instigator. DCE, yes, had played a role, but I think it's a lesser degree of a role than what Oluwatu did.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I think he gets the downgrade, which therefore allows him to play on the weekend. And I do like the fact that they will, I'm hoping they take into consideration, he's played 300 games and never been suspended. Yeah. So I think that deserves recognition as well. I don't know what your thoughts are.
No, I agree, 100%. Like it's got to count for something, right? We pride ourselves, or guys pride themselves on being clean players and having good judiciary records. The guy's played for well and truly more than a decade of rugby league. It's never been suspended at all. That's got to play into the calculations of the judiciary, I would have thought anyway. Now, I could be wrong. They might say, no, we don't care. We're just going to judge this incident on its own merit. But I would think, being such a clean skin with such a good record, that's got to help him surely when he walks in there tonight.
I agree. The only thing that comes into mind is we're trying to get rid of those tackles. It's not, you know, a shoulder charge or something like that. Look, let's move on to the other big news. Luke Geary. That's love to get your thoughts on that one.
Yeah, surprise, Brad, isn't it, really? No one sort of saw this coming, particularly after the Roosters announced, what was it, a month or two ago, that he's going to play on for another year in 2025. It's just quite bizarre, isn't it? But clearly Luke has had a change of thought. He's done some thinking with his family and friends in the last month or so and decided that now's the time to pull up stumps and finish his career at the end of 2024. And what a great player he's been, first and foremost. He's been fantastic for such a long period of time across both the Roosters and South Sydney, obviously winning three competitions. And he plays the game so much above his weight. Like, he's such a courageous player, Luke Geary, and we always sort of marvel about his skill and his ability to break down defences. I want to remember him for his ability to put his body in front of opposition players and stand his ground. I think that's been one of his biggest attributes. I suppose the flow and effect now is that the Roosters have got a hell of a lot of money to spend, don't they, really? With all these guys leaving the club, like Kiri, Joseph Manu, Joseph Suoliti, Jared Warrior-Hargreaves, obviously question marks around Daniel Tupou. They're going to want to make a splash in the player market. And it's probably, to be fair, at a pretty awkward time of year, because most of the guys are, or most of the decent free agents have been long locked up for next year. But it is rugby league. Something will always happen. If the Roosters come knocking for a player, who knows? There'll be players willing to go to Bondi, I reckon.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, because there's not a lot off contract this year. 2025 there is, but you're right. Things change on rosters all the time, and the Roosters, if they've got this war chest at their disposal, they might be very persuasive in trying to, see what they can come up with and what deal they can organise. What about South Sydney? Where are they at? We know they've got the board meeting tonight or today with Jason Demetriou about his future and what else is happening at South Sydney. But Lachlan Ilias, he's been granted a release or the opportunity to go and talk to other clubs, which they will do. And the arrival of young Dodd from England, what does this mean for Lachlan Ilias, and what does it mean for the club, and what does it mean for Jason Demetriou? Can you see him surviving? How does it all play out in the end?
Yeah, first of all, on Lachlan Ilias, Loz, I can't see him staying at South Sydney. Not now. Not with the signing of Lewis Dodd. what an amazing turn of events, given that last year, Jason Demetriou, you remember, I think it was last year, came out and said, this guy will be the best halfback South Sydney's had in recent history for a very long time. Well, look at it right now. He's literally on the way out the door at the moment. We know he's got that horrible injury he suffered in New South Wales Cup, which means he probably won't play rugby league again this year. But his manager, Brayton Astor, has been quite forthright, saying, well, I've asked the club for permission to negotiate elsewhere. That permission's been granted. South Sydney won't stand in his way. It's just a matter of which club's going to be the right fit for him. Could you see him at the Roosters, Loss? I don't know if I could see him at the Roosters, but certainly they've got a halves opening there. They'll stick with Sandon Smith and give him first crack, I think, next year. But tell you what, it might be a natural sort of transition for him to head across to the Roosters.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think Sam Walker is established as their number seven, long-term number seven. I don't know whether Lachlan could play 5'8". If there wasn't too many options around as a starting number seven, yeah, it could be an opportunity to go there for 12 months and learn his trade. But I think he'd be thinking to himself, he's a starting number seven and he'll go to a club where they're desperately in need of a seven. You know, and there's, you know, a couple that spring to mind, you know, Titans, the Dogs. There's been some mention of the Dogs. So I'd say he'd look at that before he'd look at the Roosters.
What about the Cowboys? Chad Townsend is off contract and still hasn't re-signed for next year. They potentially might be looking for a halfback.
Yeah, interesting one, isn't it? Because I know how experienced halfbacks are still hard to come by. And the impact that they have on a football team is still strong. So if you get Chad Townsend at the right price, I'd be keeping him, I think. If I was the Cowboys, I wouldn't be releasing him.
Just letting him go. Go for it, Adam.
Just on Jason Demetriou, quickly, Mido. Obviously, the board's meeting this morning. South Sydney's board meeting is meeting this morning. I don't have a great read on what they're going to do this morning. Obviously, we'll learn some news as the day progresses. I just don't know what has changed in the last 2 weeks since after their bye, as opposed to that loss to Melbourne on Anzac night where they decided to get rid of him today, but they didn't get rid of him 2 weeks ago. Like, I know they were pretty poor against Melbourne after the bye and obviously got a pretty big score wrapped up against them, but I think most people expected Melbourne to win that game. Does one game really change that board's thinking from what they went through a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, well, that'll
it doesn't for me. No, I'm surprised it won't happen. But how do you get rid of him now when they're playing Penrith this week?
Well, 48 hours before they take on Penrith. I tell you what, though, if they've made their mind up today that he goes and they have a massive win against Penrith, highly unlikely, but if they do,
well, the timing won't be right. The All Blacks, remember, Loz? They beat South Africa, he was gone. The All Blacks coach.
Yeah, but
then they won in South Africa.
But they gave him till the end of the year.
Exactly, yeah. Just some racing news quickly. Imperatrix, of course, recently retired from racing and set to be sold, Adam.
Magic Millions, Mido. Later next month, May 28th, they've confirmed that she'll go under the hammer at public auction, given that Tiaka want to, I suppose, disperse with her in terms of the ownership. How much do you reckon she'll fetch? Like, there's some forecast of up to $5 million.
Wow.
And breaking the record for a brood mare or a mare being sold in Australia. I tell you what, she'd probably go close, you would think.
Have to.
What's the bloke from America doing?
Well, actually, he's already tweeted, actually.
Oh, has he?
I saw him put something out there saying, oh, she looks like she'll be a fantastic addition to what we're trying to do worldwide. She'll be great for our brood mare band. So no doubt John Stewart will be on the phone and he'll be bumping up the price there somewhere. So she probably could go past $5 million. All you need is one more person to bid against him and that price will go through the roof, I would have thought.
Thank you, Adam.
See you, boys. Chat tomorrow.